Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. We are already halfway through the year, so now is as good as time as any to pause for a moment, to reflect, to take stock, so to speak. What are we taking stock of, you ask? Well, exactly that, the stock market. Today, we are going to check in on how markets have performed so far this year and how things are shaping up for the rest of 2024. Because, boy oh boy, we all know that there are some interesting events to come in the remaining months of the year. The known unknowns, the known knowns, and the unknown unknowns, as they say. I should also say that we are recording this episode at the end of July, so it's entirely possible that things may have changed a little bit in the week and a half before this comes out, just so that everyone is aware. Anyway, enough of my waffling on. I'm very pleased to say that sitting very patiently on the other end of the line, ready to lend his expertise to today's discussion, is regular money contributor and chief investment analyst at Wealth Within, Dale Gillam. Dale, welcome back to Friends with Money.
Hello, my pleasure, and thanks for inviting me back on again. I really enjoyed the last time we chatted.
So did I. So while you're back, Dale, well, we're pleased to have you back. So I guess to start us off today, Dale, let's keep our focus local. How has the ASX performed so far in 2024 and what's driven that?
The ASX has really been a story this year of sort of, it's like a double-edged sword, but it's a tale of two different things. Obviously, we're seeing information technology being the standout sector this year, up over 26% this year since 1 January. But the information technology sector only contributes about 4% to the All Ordinaries Index. So it's a very, very small sector, although we do have some good stocks in that, like Xero and some of the other good stocks that we have in that. But financials has been the best big sector, up 18% actually this year as of yesterday. So it's done very, very well. I mean, you've seen stocks like CommBank at new all-time highs. And this is going to keep rising. I think CommBank will hit 150 plus over the next few months. So it is looking very, very good. But what's been holding our market back? I mean, we're looking at the market at the moment. The All Ordinaries Index itself is only up 4.5%. And think, well, how can technology be up 26%, banking up 18%, and the overall market only up under 5%? And it's because of materials. The two biggest sectors in our market are financials and then materials. And between the two of those, they take up nearly half of our All Ordinaries Index. So if you've got one rising 18% and materials fell 14%, just take one from the other and you get around 4%. So that's roughly what's happening. What's happening on our market right now.
And kind of digging in, that's a terrible, terrible pun. Digging into materials then, Dale. Well, what's kind of behind that?
Look, you at the moment with the inflation rate, we've got the Australian dollar has been weak against the US dollar, although it's coming back a little bit at the moment. So having a slightly weaker dollar, also commodities prices haven't been there. We've got the higher interest rates, which is slowing down, construction industry, I suppose housing, those sorts of economic factors there. But you've seen BHP, Rio and Fortescue, the three big ones in there, all going south, And there's a whole lot of reasons around that. The world economies, China does take a lot of our commodities and we've had a lot of issues with China over the last few years. We've, all heard about the Evergrande collapse. There's other big property companies collapsing or struggling in China. So with building slowing over there. So you can understand that. And I mean, even lithium, people talk about lithium for batteries and EV car explosions and battery revolutions. And yet lithium's, it's just tanks. And so every week I'm getting people questioning or asking questions of me on my live YouTube stream, lithium and lithium stocks. And I went, yeah, catch a falling knife. They're all going down. And it's interesting how people think. So to me, a lot of factors, but I am very positive about the material sector moving forward. Not right now, but probably in the next 6 months, we'll see a bottom and a starting to turn around because I very much expect our market to be very bullish over the next few years. We're moving into the last phase of a bullish cycle, like we saw prior to the 2007 run. So I think we're sort of, if I make a comparison, we're probably 2005 right now, ready for the big run up into the peak. And then we'll have a crash in the second half of this decade. Another one, I'm thinking around 2007. I did a whole big recording on that for Talking Wealth podcast. So if people want to listen to that, they can.
Please go and listen to that, everyone. And we'll get more into the kind of look ahead in a little bit. But you kind of broadened our outlook a little bit before there, Dale, with, you know, talking about China. So I want to ask, how have international markets performed? And I guess, have there been any standout markets or perhaps underperformance abroad?
Look, when you're looking at international markets, Japan. It's been the biggest market of the major markets. It's up nearly 20% this year, but everybody talks about the NASDAQ, you know, and it's because of the Magnificent Seven. Yeah, NVIDIA that's up, I think, 170% or something this year. It's done spectacularly well. You know, the Nikkei is up over 18% since 1 January, again, Japanese. So the Japan market's doing exceptionally well. But when you look at the broader markets, and as I said, you know, we're talking about the NASDAQ's up nearly 20%. You go and look at the Dow Jones, and the Dow Jones is only up 7%. And people go, why? And it's simply because of tech stocks being pushing the US market. The US market's not a broad move up, even though the NASDAQ's up nearly 20%. It's about those seven stocks. And if you look at the NASDAQ, of those top 10 stocks, they make up a big chunk. I think it's 25 to 28% or something of the NASDAQ. And that's your NVIDIAs, your Microsofts, your Apples, and those other big tech stocks. And they're pulling it up. But we're not getting a broad movement in the US markets when we're looking at that. Even the S&P 500 is up. That when I was mentioning those tech stocks, NVIDIA, and that, if you look at the top 10 stocks of the S&P 500, they make up 25 to 28% of the S&P 500. And that's up 16.5% as we speak. But we're not getting a broad movement. But looking at Europe, around 7.6%, Europe is going up. Singapore's only up 6.82%. So you're not seeing a lot of broad movement at all indexes across the world. I still think there's a lot of, I won't say negative emotion, but very reserved emotions at the moment. People, you know, with the lag on from the COVID, and then we've had a lot of sideways movements on a lot of markets. Ours been sideways for a couple of years. A lot of markets have been doing that. So whilst we've had selective movers, being tech, I think we're not seeing a broad market move, and I think that's what's coming.
Well, let's jump into that then, Dale. And you've already talked a little bit about, the Australian market, and it also acknowledging that you don't have a crystal ball. I think that's always important to say. But how do you think markets could fare in the coming months and the latter half of 2022? And again, what do you think might drive any performance?
You mean 2024, Tom.
I do mean 2024. Yes, we haven't gone back into a time machine, listeners. I just struggle with these dates, obviously.
So do I. And people talk about this stock and I go, oh, yeah, it made a peak there and a trough there. So I get it. I really do get it. I think what we're going to be seeing is more broader, the market's going to start to move. Obviously, as I said, you know, our market has been, this year, it's been financials driving it. I think the financials with our market specifically will continue to drive the market. I'm just waiting for material sector to bottom, which I think it should do in the not too distant future, find some support and start moving up. I mean, like S32, you know, a big top 20 stock, it tanked this week down 10% because of a downgrade in earnings, but I love the stock. I'm thinking that's on a long-term bull run, but the market's punishing stocks when they're coming out with slightly non-positive news. But when you looked at the report, you know, they've got increased sales on copper and other different areas, and they've just downgraded some of their earnings. Not a lot either for next year, but I still think that's a good opportunity for people to look at some of the stocks like S32, like your Fortescues, your BHPs, your Rios in that sector. Because if our market's going to go bullish like I expect, those are the stocks that are going to take the market. They're going to take the market up very, very well. And I would expect we're definitely going to get to 10,000 points probably by the end of 2026.
Wow.
That's my prediction. It's going to be at least a 20% gain, I reckon. Probably it could even get 25 to 30% gain. So normally in the last phases of any cycle, because we know that there's an economic cycle, business cycle. Listeners may have heard of the economic clock. I just interviewed an expert on the economic clock the other day. And we're thinking, if you know a bit about the economic clock, we're about 7 o'clock on the clock, which basically means interest rates will start to come down. And when that happens, stock market's going to shoot up. And that's what we're going to see, because I think, and you've probably interviewed people on interest rates on here, but we thought maybe September to December we'll get an interest rate drop. But if not, it'll definitely be the first quarter next year. And I think when we start seeing that, that'll be a catalyst to push our market higher. So I'm very excited about the market, as you can tell.
Definitely get down. And I'm sure a lot of people listening will be very excited about the prospect of lower interest rates, unless they have deposit accounts. That is, I know now that I have a mortgage, I'm very excited myself to see rates drop. So fingers crossed. Dale, I appreciate that a lot of the time these things are, as I said earlier, unknowable. But are there any, I guess, big events coming up that you've got marked in your calendar in the next few months that you think could impact markets, either, I guess, at home or abroad?
Look, the big events, what you got to look at, the big event that we're seeing right now is the US election. Mm. It is just, and the whole world seems to be focused on Donald Trump. And whether you like him or hate him, he's good for media. The media tend to love whatever it is. So, but the actual statistics for the US election, and I did a podcast on this for Talking Wealth, our podcast with one of my other analysts. I think we did it in about February this year. And it was on how does the election affect the stock market? So the US election. So when you're looking at the US election, doesn't matter who the incumbent is, whether it's Democrats or Republican, the market rises up into the election. An interesting fact, when you look at the year after, the Democrats, both markets, no matter who gets in, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, the market rises in the first year of their presidency.
Mm.
So we saw that with Donald Trump, but it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, the market will rise. If historically, and we're talking about 100 years historically, I think we've studied 20-odd presidential cycles or something like that to work this out. And obviously the Australian market reacts as well. So to me, there's a correlation there between all of that. But in that first year, if a Republican gets into being the president, it's around 13-14% growth in that first year of the presidency. If it's a Democrat, it's over 20%. I think it's about 23%.
Really? So, interesting.
So people might be praying for a Democrat to be in there, but basically Democrats are like our Labor Party in terms of they push more money into the economy and infrastructure projects, et cetera, which boosts the economy a little bit more. Whereas the Liberal Party in Australia doesn't do that as much. It tries to be more fiscally responsible, if that makes sense. So that's what I'm expecting moving forward, or the big event that I'm actually looking for. And the other one is interest rates. I think that's going to be a big catalyst for our market, because we got a lot of people at the moment, can I say, they're under mortgage stress. Others, but to me, once that starts to relieve a little bit, that changes psychology, because you only have to study Charles Dow and Dow theory, which Charles Dow is obviously who the Dow Jones is made from. And he's created this Dow theory in phases of the market. And it's about we're in the last phase or moving into the last phase of euphoria. But to do that, we have to change market psychology. So, but you'll notice it on the street first. You'll see people a bit more excited. But it's also like a snowball. As the market starts to move and move up, more people get a little bit excited about it, and then it moves up, and then more people get excited about it, and then it moves up again, and more people. But then you start seeing the leveraging ticking in and people borrowing more money and using their houses to borrow money and other forms of borrowing to move into the stock market. So I was only chatting about this on our live show this week, actually, our live YouTube show this week. But it is interesting, and watching how this whole market's going to unfold over the next 2 years is really exciting to me.
You've got me excited now as well, Dale. This is fascinating. Could talk about this all day, but we're coming to the end of the show. So before we let you go, always like to ask when we're talking investing, do you have a tip or, I guess, a piece of wisdom perhaps that you'd like to impart for any of our investors that are listening? You know, it could be something that's about to come up in the months to come, or it could be something more general, whatever you're willing to share.
Look, to me, it's, like I've alluded to, we've got challenges at the moment economically, but, you've got the Olympics happening starting tonight or tomorrow, basically. So that's going to change some of our psychology. It'll make us more happy. You know, if we get the war ending, that'll be also another good thing. China settling, that'll be a good thing. But I think moving into this last phase of our cycle to end in, that's always a big bullish phase. It's always faster and it's always more bullish than any other part. And what happens then is that people get a false sense of security so that they think they know that they know, because all ships rise on the same tide. So they'll be buying stocks thinking they know what they're doing. And this happened in 2007. And so I urge people to be cautious, get into the market, get ready to be in the market, do your research, but don't think you know it, if that makes sense. Make sure you get a good education. Make sure you have some good rules around what you're doing. Because what I found in 2008, 2009, those people who read my book prior to the 2007 peak, my book, How to Beat the Managed Funds by 20%. Those who followed it missed the whole crash. Those who didn't got caught in the big dip, and that's what will happen. So I'm going to see over the next couple of years, people make a lot of money out of the market, but then those who don't learn will lose a lot of that, and some will go into negative territory because they've borrowed a lot. And then obviously as the market's crashing, lenders want their money back. So it causes a little bit of problem there. So over the next few years, just make sure you're being real, not being emotional. That's probably my best piece of advice.
I love it. I love that little bit of positivity to start things off as well. So probably an excellent place to leave things today. Dale, before we let you go, where can listeners hear your voice, see your face online if they'd like to get any more of your excellent insights?
They can check out our website, wealthwithin.com.au. There's all my articles on there. You'll find all my podcasts on there, but all our Talking Wealth podcasts are on iTunes and all the other things, all the other apps you've got, or talkingwealth.com is where I do a lot of interviews as well with lots of experts in lots of areas. So it's pretty simple to find me.
Wonderful stuff. Well, go check that out, listeners. And as I said, we'll have to get you back on in another 6 months, Dale, for another check-in. But until then, lovely to chat. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Tom. Anytime you want me, I'm here.
We'll see you soon then. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news, including insights from Dale. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, I am Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.